Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday was, what do you do to feel afraid?
It's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been exploring, what do you do to feel angry, loved, depressed, bad and good? And now it's, what do you do to feel afraid?
Yeah.
So here we go.
Yeah, all right.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy in Berkeley.
Hello, Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Hello, it's my birthday, so I'm doubly happy to
birthday.
Be here. So it feels like a birthday present to be on the call. What do I do to feel afraid? This one was so interesting because the tactics that I outlined for the things that a voice in my head would tell me I'm doing to protect myself from scary situations, but just even these thoughts themselves create fear more than they the content.
Oh, yes. Good for you.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I remember a couple things, like talking to a wise friend who I said, you know, if I, like, money is a favorite one. And I, when I was feeling kind of safe and happy with a wise friend, you know, I was said, you know, I think my money would be fine. My financial situation would always be fine if, you know, that the, you know, synapses or whatever in my brain that create fear about money were just fried and I could never feel fear about money again. I have a feeling money would always work itself out. Yeah.
And now with practice, I bet you're suspecting that it's not so much the synapses as the ego-serving conversation.
Right. It's so fascinating how it seems like ego wants to make things bad and hard and complex, and it almost like doesn't care what the content is, does it?
No, doesn't matter a bit. it's always going for what's wrong and what's not enough. Always. Because as we endlessly talk about, that's what will get you to give it attention.
Yes. Yeah. Some of the things I wrote down were like, it will like forecast my doom is something I need to feel afraid, like ruminate and anticipate. And I remember one of the first kind of like slogans or something that came to my head, you know, when I was like 9 or 10 years old, it was like, the anticipation is the worst part. Like those scary feelings before something happens are worse than the actual thing. And
always.
I guess there was a sense when I was pretty little that the scary thoughts were worse than the thing.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting that you intuitively knew that when you were a little kid, and then we get talked out of what we know to be true? You know, there's just so much emphasis on no, you need to worry. You need to live in dread. You need to control. That's how you'll be okay. And as a little kid, you knew that that wasn't true.
Right.
Isn't that wonderful? So it's not like we have to learn anything. We're unlearning. Right? Awareness practice is a process of unlearning. Because we already were where we need to be. We just got talked into leaving it. Now we're going home.
That's right, because it sounds very sensible to think about money. It sounds like a very grown-up thing to do.
And the whole world will support you in that. If you don't worry, bad things will happen to you. That's just... And to see through that and realize that, so, you know, if you attend to money when life drops in information for you about attending to money. And we could make a whole list of all of the things that it would behoove you to attend to when you're guided by intelligence to attend to them. Make that list. It wouldn't take very much out of your day to attend to those things. And the rest of the time, you could just be here and happy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And a friend the other day compared the kind of reaching for the worry story as kind of like these things that habitually kind of create worry is like eating a piece of chocolate. Like it's a way of even like checking out of current feelings, like into the safe worry about some base, you know, a couple of, for me, it's like two favorite things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the assumption there, the big one that we fall for is that being here is unpleasant. But the reason people think being here is unpleasant is that they confuse being here with life with being here with ego. Being with ego is unpleasant, and then ego will give us a way to escape from being with ego. And of course, as you've noticed, it doesn't work. But being here with life, endlessly joyful. Well, you have the happiest of all possible birthdays today, okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Go happy.
Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. You too. Go happy.
Thanks, Sandy. Wow, Sherry, that was such a beautiful articulation of how it is, right? That being with ego is what is unpleasant, and we are given a way to distract ourselves from being with ego by ego.
Yeah.
And so we never get to develop the ability or the facility that's natural to us to be with life and find it joyful.
Yeah. 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 It's a great con, isn't it?
It's a great con. The word bamboozle was floating up.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 It's a masterful bamboozle.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so, it reminds me of the Screwtape letters, because what a coup for the devil to say being with the devil is like being with the intelligence that animates. What a great reason never to want to be with the intelligence that animates.
Yes.
If it can substitute itself for that.
Yes. Yeah. And make us believe that if we're having a bad experience with the devil, it's our fault.
Yes.
We're just
That's
not
true.
Trying hard enough.
Or life's fault, right? Why does God do this to
fault.
Me? Not why does the devil do this to me?
Yes. Yeah. We had a conversation about that with Matt last night on Open Air, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so... really difficult, painful things happen to us in life, and that voice in the head says, see how life is? See how life is? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Alicia.
Hello, Alicia.
Hey, Alicia.
Oh, hi. Hi. Well, I've really been enjoying this, filling out this this wheel, because what I've seen about it, I love that question, the active form of what do you do to feel?
Yes.
And that focus has really made me see, like, for example, this weekend I had I was sitting, and I work on a computer, so I often find myself, I'm there, I'm doing work, and then I will find myself, I did this thing where I decided to read an editorial that was in our local paper, and then I decided, it feels very active, to then read the comments.
Oh, dear.
And, yeah, and of course when I say that that now, it's like, well, what did I expect, you know? But what I could see is the, I mean, there was a moment, and it's like a pull. It almost feels like a pull of like, you know, go look at this. Go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And yeah. I now when I look at, so what do I do to feel afraid or sad or, you know, it's like go, mm-hmm. you know, you feel the, there's sort of a pull, go mm-hmm. look, and then there mm-hmm. it is. And it the filling out each part of the wheel has made me consider the idea that someone, we were talking a few days ago where it's like, it's almost manufactured, the feeling, you know, like it's a setup mm. you get,
mm-hmm.
go look at that. And of course, mm-hmm. you know, now you're going to, I mean, you just do, of course, you're going to feel terrible. And when I look,
you know, I got to tell you, I'm laughing here in sympathetic understanding. All right. And I bet there are an awful lot of people with us today who know exactly the process that you're laying out and fall for it on a regular basis. We just do. We're so conditioned.
And yes, and even so, when asked the question, you know, what do I do to feel angry, or you know, these various emotions, what I do see is it's like there's a process where, like, so much of that in my life is just manufactured by
yeah.
what must be conditioning. Not like when I go through my day, it is unusual, I guess, that I am presented, you know, something comes up where it causes deep sadness or deep despair or
right.
anger. Or I mean, I just don't have those things
right.
happening in reality.
Right.
And yeah. and it's really, I was like, when do I actually feel these emotions in a real way rather than a manufactured way? And I don't really know.
Gosh, that is so big to see, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, what we're meant to do is just have a sense of the feelings that we've experienced during the day and believe that we are barely surviving.
Right.
You know, that life is really difficult and scary and painful, and we're just barely making it through. And to see what you've seen, that it is completely manufactured for us.
Now,
none of that's
happening. Yes, none of it's actually happening in my life. It's just,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's amazing. And I also... I want to add to how, because in each of these, you know, that we've been doing on the retreat, you know, these exercises, it occurred to me the other day, because when I was seeing this, that I'm so grateful, you know, for the people that call, because regardless of, you know, where every person is, which of course I have no idea, but I learn from every experience. I mean, and I'm so
yeah.
grateful to be able to call in and hear each person. Because then I think, right,
yeah.
Then I am able to see something like this because I've learned so much, you know, from others. So I'm very grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there's a video that's what, kind of one of those motivational videos. And it's something like, say, 10
mm.
soldiers who are going over a wall, you know, one of those where you
uh-huh.
run up and there's a 12-foot
yeah.
high wall. And in the video, you get to watch how they help one another over that wall, how they get the first one over and how they get the last one over and everybody in between. And I love that video because it feels so like Sangha.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Because
yeah.
I'm not sure, especially with this wheel, I've really enjoyed listening to people's experiences. And then, and you see, like, right, it's just not, so much of it's not real. It's
mm-hmm.
anyway. So I'm very grateful.
Me too. I hear you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, bye bye.
Bye. Thanks, Alicia. Oh, that is it, what was dropping in for me in that conversation, Sherry, is that that's why the training in awareness practice is to learn to be with how things are,
yes.
Right? That's mm-hmm. the calibration, because as Alicia was saying, if we're not paying attention, we're always living in that manufactured reality of whatever it is that we're supposed to have an experience of, even if it's not actually happening.
Yes.
And the extraordinary part about that for me is how much we have to be willing to relearn what it's like to be present to how it is, because
yes.
it's not the drama of conditioning. It's almost like when we are here with life, because of the absence of the feelings, the energetic turbulence, it's almost a let down within quotes, till mm-hmm. we get to develop the ability to experience the majesty and the wonder in a differently still and quiet way. I think they were talking about
yes.
it yesterday on the Good News Update, right? There's a way in which to be with life that requires us to be at life's frequency, which is a
yes.
learned ability, again, because we've been so conditioned to only be swayed by the turbulence of
mm-hmm.
or the distraction of the conditioned process.
Mm-hmm. It's really subtle, isn't it, what you're describing? It's
yeah.
it's a nuanced experience. We have to become very... we have to be attentive and still, right, in order to experience the subtlety.
Yes, it's that ordinariness
mm-hmm.
that is so
mm-hmm.
impossible for conditioned mind to rest in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, it's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Ashwini. Hi, Sherry. Happy to be here.
mm-hmm.
Happy to be here. And, yeah, I just echo exactly what's been talked about earlier about the supportive sangha and hearing everyone share their experiences and doing the exercises. And I just saw so much about fear yesterday when I was doing this exercise and recording about it. And what I saw about it was fascinating, about how, of course, it uses content, and it what it does, the process I identified with was, the recent content is I recently got hit by a car on my bike, but
mm-hmm.
I survived really unscathed when I could have been killed. It looked like the situation was, you know, could have gone either way, but I became unscathed, and it's a daily mode of transportation, and when I get ready to depart now, I grab my helmet and my bright neon vest so I get seen by cars. I
mm-hmm.
see this energy build, and the story starts with, well, you know, you've been hit before.
Yeah.
It's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and
you were lucky last time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was, yeah, you're lucky last time. But this next time, it's going to be fatal, or it's going to be, it builds this future calamity story of,
mm-hmm.
I won't be killed, which would, you know,
yeah.
I wouldn't even know, but I'm going to be severely injured and incapacitated for forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like this,
mm-hmm.
this fear arises, and I get to watch that energy build, and it really brings me back to presence, because it's like, oh, wow. Yeah, it could happen. It hasn't happened. I've biked, you know, probably 3-4 months since then and had no close calls.
Mm-hmm.
So very similar to the previous conversation, it builds this fantasy or this fabricated story that may or may not happen, but it hasn't happened yet.
Right. Well,
yeah.
And again, has your attention on
yeah.
it.
Exactly.
Right, which is doubly disastrous, right?
Yes.
So first of all, you're not present as
yeah.
present where you are as you could be,
mm-hmm.
which is dangerous.
Yes.
And you don't get to enjoy where you are.
Yeah.
So it's really stealing your life in two directions.
Oh.
And the reality is you could walk out of a grocery store and and be maimed by somebody racing through the parking lot.
True.
Right? So
Yeah, but that's not the kind of thing, you know, it wants us to focus on. It's got something real now, right? This is real.
Yes.
It's really challenging to let it go, isn't it? We realize how deeply held that system is, or how deeply we are held by that system.
Yeah. And the earlier part you said about stealing the joy, it is really a joy thing for me to have the ability to bike and use that as a primary form of transportation and let my car sit and get exercise and slow down and get to see nature and get to go ride through bike paths. We have some green spaces where half the trip is through along a river in a park. And a lot of that joy is stolen when in that attention is grabbed by, oh, but you've got to now cross the road and you've got to now, you know, leave the park and get onto the highway. And then there's the city streets, which are doubly dangerous because there's all these intersections where I got hit. So it's really joy stealing. You know, I've lost, it feels like I've lost a lot of the joy of why I initially took up biking is because the joy.
Yes. And Todd, if we could see... Sandy was talking about it. You know, at age 9, getting it, the worrying is the problem, not whatever I'm worried about. And this is the same thing. We get to see how that system robs us systematically, just closes us down until our lives get smaller and smaller and more tense and less joy and we get conned into believing that somehow that takes care of us. Yes. You know, that if you could live forever in that state of fear and anxiety, that would be a better thing than living wholeheartedly and being hit by a truck.
What I saw in that is,
As if that fear is going to keep you from being hit by a truck, which we know it's not.
Yeah, I can't. Can't, like, worry is not preparation, is what I saw. Worry is not preparation. If I worry about not getting hit, I won't get hit. But that's just one process doesn't lead to another.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my, huh?
Well, I just see how agoraphobia, where people can't leave their homes, is created by that story. They've created a world that is so fearful, so dangerous, that you can't leave your front door for the fear of just the future calamities that conditioning is building.
As if something out there could be worse than living like that.
Right.
It's so sad.
Well, I continue to bike daily and just, you know, put my attention, put my earbuds in, grab my recorder, and listen to stories of being here and present and joy and love and kindness and compassion instead of those stories of doom and gloom and dread.
Yeah, it's the best we can do, isn't it?
It is. Truly the best we can do is go with the mentor, go with life, and let intuitive
enjoy it while
wisdom.
We have it.
Enjoy it while we can do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Right. Thank you, Todd.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Ashwini.
Thanks, Todd. Now, Sherry, the thing that was dropping in for me is what a worthy opponent it is, because, you know, I think everybody can relate to that constant conversation that creates such a level of sensation in the body that it's almost impossible to redirect the attention from because it just goes there. And that to recognize the mechanism that you and Todd were talking about is every time the attention goes there, the deeper the groove and the less our ability to redirect the attention. So no matter if we can turn the tables and do whatever it says we shouldn't be doing, that's our only chance of creating a groove, I mean, to escape sort of the gravitational pull of that of that system. Because otherwise, it gets to a point, and I've heard you say this, where people can't get over the karma anymore. The weight of the karma has increased to the point where we're not going to have the ability to exit from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's at stake.
What I saw when you were saying that is
What the voices would say is, okay, so with Todd, he's riding his bike, and so if he wants to get over that fear, he has to start jumping out of airplanes, or he has to start, you know, whatever other thing would be considered more extreme than riding your bike in traffic, right? That's how you overcome the fear. But that's not true. All we have to do is confront that system, right? So it could actually be ballroom dancing or baton twirling, which would be scarier. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so
that it isn't that we have to,
with anything,
yeah.
any content,
yes.
as long as we're
yes.
saying yes to life and not yes to that ego-protecting system. That's all we have to be doing. We could be excited
yes.
about tiddlywinks.
Yes, and I think, as you said in the fear book, so long as we can cultivate the person who's going to hold our hand and say, you know what, we're not. It's fine to be scared. Let's just go take the bike to the curb, right?
Right.
That's just,
yeah.
It's whatever the gradient is that we can tolerate with compassion is all
yeah.
that we're going to have to do as a first step.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't have to be at where we were before something traumatic happened, but that we can
right.
we can mentor ourselves to the next step of sensation that we can stand. Right?
Yes.
It's a gradual
yes.
process of
yes.
of getting back to where we were.
Yes, because it was a gradual process getting here.
That's right.
So it's okay
yes.
to have a gradual process getting back to that that place that a lot of us knew as a child, that fearless, I just want to be alive. I'm not worried about anything. I'm just so enjoying being alive.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go. Next
right,
caller,
good.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna.
Hey, Anna.
Hey, Anna.
Hi. I was just really been resonating with everything that's been said, and just the manufacturing of the emotions and stuff. With the afraid one, I think, you know, it's just like what someone I think has already said was, for me, it was just like telling scary stories or thinking about things that might happen.
Yeah.
So like the other day, like, you know, my son like ran away in the playground. I couldn't see him for a second. And it was just like, I just saw so clearly of like, well, this could happen and this could happen and this could happen. How could you, I mean, what did you, and it's just like, that's how
mm-hmm.
I got afraid, right? Nothing
mm-hmm.
happened. He's totally fine.
Uh-huh.
And like all those kind of like what ego would call like near misses, like where it's describing like why I should be careful.
Yes.
I think that's how it manufactures fear for me.
Yes. Again, the stories, the pictures, right? Well, that could
yeah.
happen. That could happen. That could happen. And we lose sight of the fact, but it isn't. But it isn't happening.
It's not happening.
The
yeah.
only place it's happening is in this unhealthy faux view of life. That's the only place it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And being frightened.
Yeah.
Being frightened doesn't actually make you a better mother.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make me a better anything. I mean, it's like, because it'll do about like, you know, I almost left my keys, you know, but then the voice was like, oh, did you remember your keys? And then I'm like, oh, there's my keys. You know, so it's like life is there, like, taking care of me. And ego's
yeah.
like, well, what if you would have forgotten? You know, and it's just, which actually is kind of genius on his part, because I just totally missed that, like, you know, life just told me to go get my keys. You know, just like,
yes.
came right by that to the, like, what could have happened if I hadn't remembered.
Yes.
But I did.
Yes. Yes, that's what
yeah.
Ashwini was talking about just a minute ago, right? How subtle
yeah.
life is compared to the grossness of ego that we're accustomed to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's just, I have found this exercise very helpful, because it's like, you know, just seeing the storytelling, you know, with each one of these emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the repetition of it has been instructive.
Yes, it really is a doing, isn't
yeah.
it?
This is something that's being done. Now, of course, the good news for us is it's not something we are doing, right? It's something that's being done that we have not yet learned to stop.
Yes. Yeah, and it's becoming more obvious. I feel like sometimes, I mean, since we started doing this exercise, I mean, since practice started, right, because this is something I think I've been aware of, because the worry is not preparation mantras that I heard, I don't even know when, a long time ago when you guys started saying it, has been so just like life-changing for me, because I think the belief really was that it was preparation. That it was getting me prepared to the world. That that you know, think all the bad things that could happen was actually keeping me safe. Like I really did believe that.
Yes. Oh, and you're not alone.
I don't believe it, but
Right. You're not alone in that. We just this country. We have an entire culture based on that. And and there is a product that you can purchase that will protect you against any eventuality. You have to look for it, but it's there. And if all else fails, we can drug you so that you don't have to feel the effects of those stories.
So I feel grateful that I don't believe it now, and I still see that it happens. You know, I still see that when I'm not actually there for it, I'm like, oh right, yeah, I did almost miss that. Some kind of, self-hate is good for that, too, to, like, you know, make sure I don't forget it again.
That's right. Yes, and you also are, I don't know what the form of this would be, but you are now paying close enough attention that you're looking for life's guidance behind, underneath, where you didn't quite see it before the fear and the self-hate came in.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And recognizing it when it does come in, you know?
Yes.
And it's like, you know, sometimes it comes in and it's like, well, that's good. And I'm like, but it didn't, you know, just keep moving. So, it's, you know, it's
now.
More, I feel like that's like the freedom of practice. It's just like, you're not, I don't care what you're talking about. You don't make any sense, and I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going down the rabbit hole.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always noise, isn't there? Sometimes it's inside the head. It's always going on outside the head. I don't have to attend to it.
Yeah.
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 Wow, that's so good. Thank you, Anna.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Go happy.
Thanks, Anna.
Go happy.
And that brings us to the end of another wonderful show, Sherry. And the assignment today is, what do you do to feel inadequate? Record and listen.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
And talk to everybody tomorrow.
Yeah, treasure yourselves.